Our first scripture reading is found in the book of Genesis. We read Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and verses 15 through 16. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations. And kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 5th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter, and we read verses 27 through 38. As Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, "John the Baptist. And others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." He strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." He called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed. He comes in the glory of his Father, with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Text is based on your gospel lesson for today. The words of Jesus describing himself, but also asking for a description from the rest of the world, so to speak. Who do people say that I am? That is the question. What does the word definition mean? Now, you would think everybody kind of understands what definition means. But in today's world, I'm not so sure. Let me, however, give you an example of defining something. Gravity. Gravity is the attraction of mass or energy to other mass or energy. It's a natural force that exists. And if you want to get more specific about it, and I wrote this down, the acceleration due to gravity on Earth in a vacuum is 32.174 feet per second. That's a definition of gravity. But let's say there's this guy over at Rockwell. And yeah, most people, that's what they say gravity is, but I don't believe it. I think gravity is actually 4.5. The acceleration due to gravity is 4.5 feet per second. How many of you would like to fly in an airplane designed by that engineer? No hands are going up, obviously. You see, when you're defining something, you're not telling it what it is. You're studying it. And you're describing what it is. Describing, you're not prescribing. But in our world today, that definition of definition really is changing. For instance, if you go back to the book of Genesis, God created something. And actually, God can prescribe things to be something. That's part of being God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Our boys. There are girls. But if I ask you to define that term today, while I think most people sitting here today and probably watching can give me a pretty good definition of that term, even in the halls of government, they can't figure it out anymore. People can be one thing one day, and the next day they can decide there's something else, so they think. Man seems to be taking on the role of God. Things are not what they are. Things are whatever we say they are. Now granted, again, God can do that. Would you want to fly in an airplane with an engineer who makes up his own definition of gravity? I don't think so. But ever since the fall into sin, really, that's been going on. God is who he is. That includes merciful, loving, and just and glorious and a host of other things. But as we've described so many times, things changed when Satan approached Adam and Eve in the garden. Essentially, the devil made up his own definition of what God is. Got Adam and Eve to believe in that definition. And death was the result. And what happened then still continues today. And it's really not just sort of lately that this definition thing has been changing. How many of you have ever gone up to someone just to talk about religion a little bit? Oh, so what religion are you? Well, I'm a Lutheran, but that doesn't mean I believe everything that the Lutheran Church teaches. Oh, you're a Lutheran, but you don't. Are you Lutheran or aren't you? Or, I'm a Catholic, but that doesn't mean I believe everything the Catholic Church teaches. Well, are you still a Catholic? You know, when it comes to religion, we have a kind of unusual definition of definition. We're not describing things, we're prescribing things. What does God mean to you? You know, in our world, that's not an unusual question. But scripturally, it doesn't matter. We don't define God. God tells us who he is. And that's what's going on in our gospel lesson for today. Who do people say that I am? Not that Jesus was going to change what he is because of what people say about him. And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. He asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter gave him the right answer, at least to start with. You are the Christ. Then Jesus began to teach them what that really means. And it came to the disciples as a surprise. They thought they knew what the Christ should be. My friends, we don't define God. We can describe Him based on what He reveals to us. But whatever we dream of Him to be is only true if that's who He really is. And Peter, in our text for today, had a problem with what God was saying God is. The idea that God, in the person of Christ, can die? Why would He? Oh, we know now. Because God has revealed that to us. It's part of His merciful and loving character, but you know it's also part of His just character. God is a just God. You don't just get away with sin. It has to be paid for. And oh, by the way, you don't get to define what a sin is and what a sin isn't. God decides what He will punish. God decides when He will forgive and why He will forgive. You cannot dictate that to God because God is who He is. In fact, that's the name He revealed Himself with in the Old Testament. I am who I am. Go tell the people, that's who I am. But again, Peter was not happy with that definition. And though Jesus had just applauded His definition of Jesus as the Christ, read the Gospel of Matthew. He also includes a blessing that Jesus spoke over Peter. Now, when Peter wants to change the definition of Christ, making it his own rather than what God says it is, these are the words of Jesus to Peter, whom He had just blessed. Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Wow. That's a pretty powerful rebuke. He doesn't just say, you know, Peter, you really shouldn't do that. He doesn't just say, you know, Peter, that's a bad thing that you did. You can't do that. He attacks the character of Peter. Defining where that kind of thinking actually comes from. It's what Satan has been doing since the day sin entered the world. Trying to tell man that we get to define God. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And He called to Him the crowd with His disciples and said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then a few verses later, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, this adulterous and sinful generation. Of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Definition. What does it mean? When we describe God, are we describing him on the basis of what he has revealed to us in his holy word? Or are we actually just prescribing? Telling God what we think he ought to be. My friends, listen to Jesus. You cannot prescribe who God is. You can only describe him. And one can only describe something if you know what it is, if you have a relationship with it, you can feel it, touch it. Who is God and what is he like? If God has not revealed himself to the world in the person of Jesus Christ, we have no clue and never will. But throughout history, God has sent prophets. And ultimately, he sent us his own Son. God in human flesh. To describe to us the fullness and the richness of God. A merciful, a forgiving, a loving God who loves us so dearly that he's willing to sacrifice himself. We might address him as our Father who art in heaven. But also a just God. Defining how we should live and how we shouldn't. Forgiving of those who repent and turn to him and not forgiving. Those who want to make up their own God. Who do people say that I am? What is God to you? God grant that he is to you what he has described himself to be in his holy word. As we share God with others, God grant that the God we share is also that same God that has shared of himself with us, in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.